patience for questions like that. But she was Frankie's best friend, so I needed to find some damn patience. Yes, Bree, I tried calling her. She's not answering her phone, which is why I'm calling you. Bree sighed. When she goes out, I'm almost always with her. And since I'm not with her, I'd say she's probably home taking a bath, or under the covers with her phone turned off. That's all I needed to know. Thanks. I'll make sure to check the tub, too. Mr. Block? I twisted the cap back on the vodka and walked to the freezer. We're past the point of formality, Bree. Call me Derek. Okay, Derek. She was given a lot of information tonight and a lot to take in all at once. I know her better than anyone. She needs time to process it all. This may be blunt, but you're going to have to give her that. I froze in the middle of my kitchen. Time? Fuck time. Whatever she thinks or whatever someone told her or whatever the hell she tries to piece together, it won't be the right story. She needs to hear the truth from me. And she'll want to, I'm sure. But she'll be the one to decide when that happens. God damn it. I tossed the bottle into the freezer, not caring if it broke, and slammed the door shut. I didn't want a puppet or a slave, but when I called, I wanted her to pick up the damn phone. It was another situation I couldn't control. Someone had given her information about me, and I hadn't told her the truth. I hated that, and I hated that I'd avoided telling her every time I had been given a chance. Okay, you know her best, I'll back off. I know it's not easy, but trust me, I wouldn't suggest it if I didn't think it was best for her, and for you. I'd trusted Bree in the past, and it had proven to be a good decision. I'd trust her again. I had no choice. I grabbed a bottle of beer from the bar in the living room, switching to something I could drink much more of, and walked into my office. There would be no sleep tonight, so I might as well work. I'll make it right, I promised her. I know you will, Derek, Bree said. I think Frankie knows it, too.
2. Frankie.
Miss Jordan, the doorman said. It looks like you had a nice run.
I smiled as he held the door open, my chest heaving as I tried to catch my breath. I did, thank you. I glanced around the lobby, checking for Reed's face. I didn't have any visitors while I was out, did I? He shook his head.
No, ma'am. It's been a quiet night.
After hanging up on him just a few hours earlier, I was concerned he would come here and try to talk more. I was happy to hear that he hadn't. At least he hadn't yet. Have a nice evening. I gave him a final smile and walked to the elevator.
You too.
I stepped inside and hit the button for the top floor, staring at the lit-up numbers as sweat dripped down my forehead. I wiped it with my sleeve and leaned against the back wall, wrapping my hands around the safety bar. I didn't usually run this late, or outdoors for that matter. I preferred the treadmill inside my building. But tonight I needed air, the sounds of the city, and asphalt beneath my feet. I hadn't timed my run or tracked how far I'd gone. From the way my heart was pounding, how my breathing wasn't yet under control, I knew I'd gone much faster and much farther than I usually did. Still, the distance I'd logged hadn't given my mind the answers it was looking for. Nor did the glass of wine I poured as soon as I stepped into my kitchen. I held my phone, staring at the two missed calls on the screen. Both were from Derek. It had been more than 90 minutes since his last call, and he hadn't left a voicemail. Like me, I knew he wouldn't be getting any sleep tonight. And I knew he had things he wanted to say. The only way I could ever get any resolution was if I gave him a chance to talk. Avoiding him would only lead to more questions.
Frankie, he said through the speaker of the phone.
There was relief in his voice. I looked down at my glass, surprised that I barely touched it. Hi.
Where are you?
Home. I went out for a run and just got back.
Did it help?
I took a sip, holding the wine in my mouth before swallowing. The back of my throat turned warm and tingly. No. Not at all. My questions are starting to have questions.
I want to fix that.
Are you sure you can? I moved to the living room windows and rested my forehead against the glass. The street was so busy below, but I wasn't paying attention to the cars that passed or the pedestrians on the sidewalk. My mind was on Taylor and how I'd unexpectedly run into her at Derek's townhouse. She was stirring up something, and it somehow involved Derek and Randy, and a last name that wasn't Block.
If you'll give me a chance, I'd like to try.
It was more sincere than he'd ever sounded. Come over then, I said.
I'll be there in 15.
We hung up and I pushed myself off the window, carrying the wine into the bathroom. I set the glass on one of the shampoo niches inside the shower and dropped my clothes on the bath mat. I didn't even let the water warm before stepping underneath the overhead stream. The side jets massaged my hips and thighs while the steam worked to loosen the rest of me. I knew there would be answers coming soon, and the thought of it knotted my chest. Those answers were the final pieces, the last things that were separating us. But what if once the truth was known, we realized we couldn't make it work? What if we were too different after all? I had learned that knowing the truth could change people, could affect them in different ways. Once explored, other feelings would have the opportunity to surface, especially when he finally shared whatever part of his life he'd been blocking from me. There was a reason he hadn't told me during our weekend in Portsmouth. I could only imagine what that reason was. And in my contemplation, it wasn't good. I let the conditioner sit and took a sip of my wine. This was the first time I'd ever taken a drink into the shower. It felt appropriate, given everything that had gone down tonight. In fact, the tension inside me could have used something even stronger. The soapy sponge I was now rubbing over my body wasn't helping. The only way I would get some relief was if there were strong hands kneading inside the grooves between my muscles, the pockets between my joints. Hands like Derek's. It didn't matter what happened between us, what was said or what wasn't. My attraction to him hadn't faltered. He was the man I wanted to be with. The one I was falling in love with. My chest began to tighten even more as those words echoed in my thoughts. As difficult as it was to say love, I felt it in every part of me, and I knew I needed to tell him that tonight, to share my feelings once and for all. I also knew I had to end all communication with Reed. I had to explain to him that nothing would ever happen between us again. That meant ending things professionally, too. My father would never understand this decision, but this wasn't about him or what he expected from me. This was about what I needed. Finally clean, I grabbed my wine and a towel and stepped out of the shower. I covered my face and body with lotion and squeezed out the water from my hair. My cheeks were still red from my run. My lashes looked dull without mascara, and my hair hung flat. I wasn't going to do anything about it. I dressed in a pair of yoga pants and a tank top, no bra, no panties. I didn't even bother putting on perfume. Reed got the painted Frankie, the one who always hid something behind her image. Derek was about to get the real me. I flipped off my bedroom light, and as I rounded the corner of the hallway, I heard a noise. It came from the living room and sounded like rubber-soled boots squeaking over my hardwood floors. That could only mean one thing. I'd forgotten I'd put him on the list, and he could come up to my condo whenever he wanted, without the doorman notifying me. He also had the new code to get through my front door. And he had. His broad frame filled the entire corner of my couch. His green flannel strained against the hardness of his chest. His dark jeans wrapped tightly around the heavy muscles in his thighs. And those hands I had thought about in the shower rested on the cushions. It had only been a few hours since I'd last seen him. It felt like more, because as I stared at him, I was reminded of the distance between us, of the truth he'd chosen not to share with me, of the lies he'd told me instead. He ran a hand over his beard, brushing the thick, bushy sides through his fingers.
I have a lot to tell you.
3. Derek. I watched her move across the room, her tits bouncing with each step, her black pants hugging those delicious thighs. She wasn't wearing a bra, and goddamn did I approve. I was doing everything I could to keep my eyes off her rock-hard nipples. I wanted to lick them, to gnaw them until she cried out. But that wasn't why I was there. Tonight was for the truth. "Beer?" she asked. "Yeah, please." When she passed, I smelled her shampoo, the amber that wafted from her skin. Skin I wanted naked and submissive beneath me. Fuck. I closed my eyes and rested my head on the cushion behind me. I needed a plan, a direction, a starting point for this conversation. Something that owned up to the lying, but told her there were reasons for it. I knew it all had to come out, and like it or not, she needed to hear it. "Here," she whispered. I opened my eyes and took the beer, the cold glass slipping in my sweaty palms. "There are plenty more if you need them." She sat in the chair across from me, crossing her legs and holding the wine in her lap. "I know you must have a million questions," I said. "There's a lot I need to tell you first. I don't know where to start." "How about at the beginning?" "The beginning." "Okay." I took a deep breath. When I was young, I worked with my dad as much as my school schedule would allow. He was a foreman, but he was often a floater, filling in wherever and whenever he was needed. He worked for Randy White, the owner of White Construction, as you now know. The bottle balanced between my two fingers as I brought it up to my lips. I wished this wasn't so fucking hard. I wished I could fast forward to the part where I was apologizing for not telling her my real name and skip all these ugly details. So many years later and they still shook the hell out of me. "Randy is my father's brother, my uncle. He runs things differently with his company than I do with mine, differently than most in the industry. He doesn't give a shit about safety or protocol or his crew. He only cares about money. And because he refuses to spend any on equipment designed to keep his crew safe, there have been accidents. One involved my father." Her hand moved to her heart. She shook her head, so much emotion on her face. "My God, Derek." "I was there. I saw the whole thing. That was how I lost him." Her eyes began to fill, which made it even harder. I didn't want her to feel sorry for me. Losing my father had changed everything. My plan, my path, my life. It hardened me. It made me lose trust. But I survived, just like she had when she'd lost her mother. The only difference was that after my loss came my dedication to revenge. It was a layer she hadn't ever experienced. "Randy wasn't prosecuted for the accident." Just saying that made a wave of anger burst through me. Motherfucker. "But Hayden and I weren't going to let him get away with it, so we came up with a plan to take him down. Our family wasn't the only one affected. There are others, and she's building a case against him." She uncrossed her legs and leaned forward. "Is that why Randy hired Taylor? Because he has a feeling you're onto him?" I nodded. He dug around trying to find something from my past he could use, and Taylor just happened to be desperate for cash. He must have thought I would still get hard over my ex. The bastard guessed wrong, and he obviously didn't know how serious things are between us. I waited for her reaction. She didn't give me the smile I was hoping for. "Randy's been on to me for a while, but hasn't been able to figure out my plan. Hayden's been careful. I've been careful. He won't know what's coming until the police show up at his door." "But what does that mean for you?" "When he goes to court, I'll have to testify about what I witnessed that day. It will be the second time I gave that statement. Maybe this time the people listening won't be fooled like the last ones were. Then Randy will get what's coming to him." Her gunmetal eyes told me she was still processing it all. "I understand now why it would be so hard to share that part of your past." She understood, but I could tell she wasn't ready for me to touch her, or for me to move beyond this chair. So while I waited for her to come up with the questions she wanted to ask, I came up with a few of my own. "How did you get that paperwork on Taylor?" I overheard her on the phone in the bathroom at Blue. I didn't like what she was saying, so I sent her information to Bree and asked her to do some research. What you saw is the information Bree got on her. I hadn't pegged Bree as someone who had connections. That made me like her even more. I thought for sure it was Reed, I said, even after you told me it wasn't. I know. While I was looking through all of Taylor's paperwork, Reed called and told me about your name not being your name. He's been calling and texting incessantly. It makes me think he's been trying to tell me for a while, but I wouldn't give him the chance. I drained the rest of my beer and set the empty bottle on the coffee table. I really didn't want her involved in the shit between Reed and me. But tonight was about the truth, and she deserved all of it. He's been texting me, too. What? She looked up from her glass. How did he get your number? I don't know. One of his texts mentioned White, so I knew he had figured it out, at least on some level. He spewed a bunch of bullshit that just got me worked up and... Game on. Another motherfucker. Frankie, I... The expression on her face worried me for the second time tonight. I wanted her to smile again. I wanted to know that we could get past this. But I knew what I was about to tell her wasn't going to make that happen. Where's my phone? She reached behind her and felt around on both sides of the chair. It's in the kitchen. I saw it when I came in. She stood. I can only imagine how vile his texts were. I've had it with him. I'm tired of his shit. I'm going to make sure you never hear from him again. No. My voice stopped her from taking another step. She was so fucking sexy when she was angry. If it were any other situation, I would bend her over that chair and make her ass milk my cock. Sit back down. She fell into the chair again. I love that you want to help me, but I assure you, I'll handle Reed when the time is right. I'm going to handle him first. No, you're not. She sat straighter, and I couldn't help but smile. Yes, I am, Derek. It's been a long time coming, and he needs some closure. If I'm being honest, I could probably use some myself. He's frustrated with me, and he's taking it out on you. If that's what you think you need, then maybe it would be good for you guys to talk. What the hell did I just tell her? It wasn't like me to encourage the only woman I'd cared about in years to go spend time with her ex, who was also one of the biggest dickheads I'd come across. But if that's what she needed to heal, I wouldn't stop her. She needed closure as much as I did. There was another issue to discuss. About my name, Frankie, it's something I should have told you. But telling you the truth meant I'd also have to tell you about Randy and my family, and I wasn't ready for that. Then tell me now. I took a deep breath and looked at the empty bottle of beer. I didn't need another one. Beer wasn't going to help with what I needed to say. My uncle has a reputation in Portsmouth. He's earning one in Boston, too, and neither of them are good. We're in the same industry. We compete against each other. I didn't want my name associated with his in any way, even if that meant giving up my father's last name. For that reason alone, it was a hard decision to make. But in the end, it was the right one. When I turned 18, I changed White to Block. There are old-timers in Portsmouth who have been around long enough to know Randy and I are related. They also know my work speaks for itself. The people in Boston have no reason to dig up my past, like Reed. So I came to the city with a clean slate. I'm completely separate from him. That's all I ever wanted. She said nothing. Block or White, it doesn't matter, Frankie, because I'm still the same person. The man you met when you first walked into my office at Timber Towers. The man who brought you to Portsmouth. The man who has been inside your tight little pussy. We're all the same. It's all me. Seconds passed before her eyes finally softened. I believe that. Then you have to believe I didn't withhold this to intentionally hurt you because that couldn't be further from the truth. I would never want to hurt you, baby. I care so much about you. I stopped as her phone vibrated on the counter. Is that mine? She asked, looking toward the kitchen. Yes, it's yours. I checked the time. It was almost midnight. It's a little late for a business call, isn't it?
I don't think it's business.
She ran to the counter and answered it.
Hello?
She turned to face me.
Yes, this is Frankie.
The color slowly started to drain from her cheeks and her eyes filled.
Oh my God.
I rushed over, wrapping my arms around her waist to pull her closer.
Yes? Okay.
Her entire body was shaking. I squeezed tighter, holding her against my chest, trying to make her still.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
The phone dropped from her hand, and her head seemed to follow it. Frankie. I leaned back so I could see her face. It was the only way I would know how to fix this.
Look at me.
She gradually lifted her head, tears streaming down both cheeks. Her bottom lip quivered. Her chest rose and fell, unable to catch her breath. I cupped her face and moved in as close as I could get her.
Tell me.
It's Anna.
Tears dripped over my fingers. Her lids squeezed shut and she shook her head as though she didn't believe the thoughts inside it.
She's in the hospital.
Is she okay?
I don't think so.
Her voice was so fucking pained. The nurse said when she was admitted she was in a crippling amount of pain. The doctor is trying to manage it and make her as comfortable as possible. I could feel her trembling in my hands.
She's in the ICU, Derek. In critical condition.
Do they know what's causing it?
She nodded and I felt her unravel even more. Cancer.
It was the same thing that took her mother. I pulled her against me, wrapping my arms around her head and tucking my face into her neck.
I didn't know. She didn't tell me. It doesn't sound good, Derek. Not good at all. I need her. I can't lose her. I can't.
Her purse was on the counter right next to me. I tossed it over my shoulder and gently led her toward the elevator. While we rode down each floor, I kept her pressed against my side, my arm curved around her body so I could bear most of her weight. I angled my face so my beard rested on her forehead, allowing her to feel something familiar, to know I was there with her. That level of pain she was feeling, I knew it too well. Every stab that continuously gutted her over and over, I could still feel the sharpness of that long fucking knife. I wanted to take it away. Every tear, every unbearable ache, and hold it inside me so she wouldn't have to feel it. I wanted to heal my pink ivory.
Where are we going?
She asked as we walked out of the lobby door. She shivered even though the air wasn't cool. I'm taking you to the hospital. You need to be with Anna. She began to cry even harder, my words obviously making the situation more real. As I lifted her onto the passenger seat of my Suburban, I saw the hardness of her nipples, the bouncing of those perfect tits. She was braless and I hadn't grabbed anything for her to cover up. She grabbed my collar as I turned, stopping me from closing the door.
Don't leave me.
Her voice was so small. I'm just going to the trunk. I think I have a flannel back there that you can wear. I'm not leaving you. She looked down at her chest and back up at me, her eyes telling me she barely registered what little she had on.
But Anna is?
She was curled in so tightly, her body was lost in the seat. You don't know that, Frankie.
She's like a mother to me.
Those gunmetal eyes were so wide and lost.
The only mother I've ever really had?
We're going to get through this, baby.
4. Frankie. I'm sorry, the nurse said, shutting off the tablet and hugging it against her chest. But it's way past visiting hours. I can't let you in. We'd made it as far as the door outside the intensive care unit, and she was stopping us from going any farther. This was the second time I'd asked her to let me inside, and the second time she'd refused. I'd run out of kindness and patience, and words. All I had were thoughts of losing Anna, images of her lying on one of those wide beds, her frail body barely taking up half of it. I needed to be with her, and I knew she needed me.
The woman in that room is her family, Derek said.
His voice startled me as this was the first time he'd spoken since we'd gotten on this floor.
There's no way she's going to wait until the morning to see her. She needs to be with her now.
Sir, please.
Your policy can't possibly keep family away in situations like this, he added. If you're unwilling to cooperate, I'll need to consult my lawyer to see what she says about it.
As I squeezed his hand, I felt the nurse's eyes on me. I returned her cold stare. I had nothing to add to what Derek had said. It felt like everything inside me had been sucked out. There were only tears left, and those I wasn't able to stop.
You cannot make a sound once you're inside, she said. And you can't stay all night, just a little while. Go, Derek said, interrupting her and gently pushing me toward the door.
I'll wait for you out here.
I tried to ask him why he wasn't coming with me. My mouth opened, but no words came out. He nodded his head, confirming again that he'd wait. And I moved through the door. The latch clicked into place and locked behind me as the noise inside the unit hit me. Beeping. There was so much of it, all at different intervals and volumes. All I could smell was rubbing alcohol, bleach, and antiseptic. It was so pungent it burned my nose. Each room was divided by panes of glass. Closed curtains gave the patients privacy from their neighbors. The front of the bays were completely open to make the beds easily viewable. Names and codes were written in marker on the front glass. I didn't bother to look at them. I looked for her face, for her eyes. I searched for the warmth I felt whenever I was near her. I reached the fourth room and felt no warmth at all. In fact, it felt like an air conditioning vent had opened inches above my head. A chill ran through my body as I looked at her face and arms, the only parts of her that weren't covered. I rushed to her side, taking her delicate hand gently in my own. Her eyes were closed, her cheeks sunken. Her face was ashen.
Anna, I whispered.
I didn't want to wake her, but I wanted her to know I was there.
Is that my doll? She whispered back.
Her eyes slowly opened, bloodshot, with a hazy film coating them. This wasn't happening. It couldn't be. I wanted to be strong. For her. For me. For any bit of hope that might remain. But her lips were so dry and cracked, and her breathing was so shallow. There were machines behind her that cried out continuously, and an IV in her hand, and wires snaking out from beneath the blanket.
What happened, Anna?
She turned her head, resting her cheek on the pillow. It looked like she didn't have the energy to hold it straight.
Pancreatic cancer, doll. I got the diagnosis a few months ago.
Pancreatic cancer? And she'd known for months? I was doing everything I could to keep the wine in my stomach. I knew what that diagnosis meant, how small the recovery rate was. One of the residents in my building had received the same diagnosis a few years ago. He'd undergone surgery and still only lasted a few years. That wouldn't be my Anna. She'd fight. She'd beat it. She had to. I pulled the chair as close as I could get it, so I didn't have to reach for her.
I wish she would have told me. I'm sorry I didn't, she said weakly. But I didn't want you to constantly worry and stop your life because I'm sick. I don't like to be hovered over, and I know that's what you would have done.
She was right. That's what I would have done, stopped my life to dote on her. If she was sick, I was sick. But I didn't get that option.
What are they doing for you?
I glanced at the IV stand, reading the words that had been printed on each of the bags.
Are they making you better?
They're making me comfortable.
What about surgery?
I'm not a candidate.
I could tell it took so much out of her to answer, but I wasn't going to stop my frantic questioning. I had to get to the bottom of this. I had to solve it. I had to.
What about chemo? Alternative treatments?
There must be clinical trials going on that we can get you into. She moved her other hand so it rested on top of mine. I looked at her skin, the way it wrinkled over her veins, the age spots that freckled it. They were hoping the chemo would help with the pain, she said. And it did for a little while, but my body couldn't handle it, so they had to stop. There's no more treatment. No more. Had I seen this coming and ignored the signs? She'd been thin for as long as I could remember, but definitely not this thin. She'd never had a huge appetite, but she'd stopped nibbling on the sweets I brought her after only a few bites. She'd complained of stiffness in her joints and muscle pain, so I'd had the treadmill delivered to her apartment. She'd been pushier lately when it came to stating her opinion. She'd always been one to give it, but never quite like now. And never as persuasive as she had been about Derek. Why hadn't I recognized her sickness? Are you in pain now? The names of the drugs on the IV bags told me they were trying to manage it, but I could see in her eyes the effect it was having on her physically. No, doll. They're taking it all away. Taking it all away. I didn't like the sound of that. I knew in the end it wasn't just her pain that would be taken away. My Anna. My chest tightened. It felt like it was going to crack down the middle. My Anna. What can I do for you, love? I rested my cheek against her hand. Her skin was cold and so soft and smelled of alcohol. Not the cherry blossoms I was so accustomed to. How can I make you feel better? You being here is enough. There must be something more. I felt so helpless, so useless. Well, there's a box in the back of my closet. She stopped to take a breath and struggled to fill her lungs. It has your name written on it. I'd like you to get it. I lifted my face from her hand. Right now? No, doll. After I'm gone. A rush of panic washed over my chest and got caught in the back of my throat. I couldn't hear that word, not from her. What are you saying, Anna? I could see the life slowly leaving her eyes. Every cell in my body seized in sorrow. Hands gripped my shoulders, and I jumped and gasped. I knew the strength, the touch. Derek's embrace was exactly what I needed at that moment. But all I could focus on was Anna's cold hand in mine, and the cold knowledge of the life that was draining from her.
Baby, I'm here, he said from behind me.
He wrapped his arms around my neck, and his beard brushed against my cheek. Was this really happening, or was I imagining this moment? Derek and Anna finally meeting, in the hospital, where she was dying of cancer. Derek placed his hand on ours. He brought the warmth that was missing from this room.
Anna, he said, you're even more beautiful in person than in the pictures at Frankie's condo.
Derek, finally. There was a weak smile on her face as she spoke his name. You're what I wished for. What I've wanted for her. I watched the two of them, their eyes taking each other in, knowing it was a moment I didn't want to miss.
Frankie loves you so much, he said.
I tasted the salt on my lips.
And I love her, Anna told him.
They were talking as though I weren't in the room, as though I was just going to stand up in a few minutes and leave Anna alone in here. I wasn't going anywhere. Derek needed to know that.
Tell them I'm staying, I said.
Anna's thumb curled around my fingers. She brushed the pad back and forth over my skin.
You can't stay here tonight, doll. I need my sleep, and you need yours. Go home and come back in the morning.
I shook my head. No, Anna. She raised her hand for Derek to take. It looked so tiny in his large palm.
Take care of her.
I will.
Love her and listen to her. Let her be Frankie.
I promise, he answered.
her thumb pressed against my skin. Even a gesture that small took so much out of her. Her lids were getting heavier, her breath slowing. I'm so proud of you, and I love you so much. Love you like you're my own daughter, Frankie Jordan. I am, I whispered. Yes, you are. I tried to breathe, but I couldn't. I have so much I need to say, Anna. We've never needed words, doll. I feel it. I always have. But I could barely see her through the haze of tears that wouldn't cease. I couldn't let her go. Baby, it's time. My body was moving. The cushion of the seat was no longer underneath me, and my face was now so close to hers. I pressed my lips against the softness of her skin, so thin and hollow and cold now. I love you, Anna. Her hand cupped my face. And I love you. I felt Derek hug my waist, and suddenly I was moving again. My feet weren't on the ground. They were in the air. My body, too. Derek's strong arms were holding me, carrying me out of the room. As he pressed me against his chest, air rushed over my face, chilling the tears on my cheeks.
Hold on, he said in my ear. We're almost out of here.
I didn't know if I was holding on, but I knew I was holding in. Another breeze washed over me as he brought me through a second doorway. This one wasn't as strong. It still hurt. It still stung. It still shackled my throat, making it hard to breathe. I heard a thud as he pushed up against something. We were no longer moving. A bright light shined above us. It made my eyes burn. And then we were dropping, 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 until we hit something hard beneath us. I felt pressure. Derek squeezing me.
I'm here, and I'm not letting you go, he said. You can let it out now, Frankie. Cry as hard as you want to now.
I lifted my head and saw that I was on his lap. He sat against a wall, on some floor in some unfamiliar space that still smelled like alcohol and bleach. He held my face as I stared into his eyes. He didn't pretend to comfort me. He knew he couldn't. Nobody could.
Let it out, baby. It's okay.
So I stopped holding it all in. I cried. I roared. I raged. I turned myself inside out, trying to wring the pain from my soul. No matter how hard I tried, there was always more.
Baby,
he said against my ear. The softness of his flannel rubbed over my cheek. It was wet from soaking in my tears. But I could barely feel it. I could barely feel anything.
I'm here.
Hearing him say that again made me weep even harder.
5. Derek. Using Frankie's code, I opened the gate to her underground garage, parked in a spot near the elevator, and turned off the engine. She was curled in a ball in the corner of my Suburban, her knees tucked inside my flannel, strands of her hair stuck to her cheeks. Tears streamed down her face, dampening the window she rested against. Once she went into the ICU, I'd gotten the nurse to open up a little about Anna's health. She told me her cancer had spread from her pancreas and was now everywhere. The oncologist didn't know how Anna had tolerated the pain for as long as she had, without being heavily medicated. And now her organs were shutting down, and she wasn't getting enough oxygen. She wasn't expected to live through the night. I didn't mention any of this to Frankie. I hadn't needed to. The minute I'd gotten her back into my car, she told me she knew she wouldn't be seeing Anna again. For the first time since we'd been together, I didn't know how to fix how she was feeling. I didn't know how to make her feel better or how to take the pain away. It fucking tore me apart. I opened the passenger door and unclipped her seatbelt. Wrap your arms around my neck, I told her. She made no effort to move. I can walk. You don't need to, I've got you. Instead of waiting for her, I draped her arm around me and hoisted her into the air. She clung to me, pressing her face into my neck as we rode the elevator. When we reached her room, I laid her on top of the bed and slowly removed the flannel. I took off her tank top and pants and tucked her under the covers. The emptiness in her eyes was like a goddamn punch in the gut. I dropped her clothes into the hamper and moved toward the door. "Don't leave." Her voice was so quiet, almost childlike. "I'm just getting you some water. I'm not leaving." She tugged the blanket up to her neck and folded it under her chin, and I went to the kitchen. I grabbed a bottle of water from the fridge and set it on her nightstand. Then I stripped off my own clothes and climbed in next to her, pulling her back against my chest. "I don't feel anything, Derek." I wrapped my arm around her stomach and rested my chin on her shoulder, rubbing my whiskers over her skin while I breathed in her scent. "You're in shock." "No, I'm completely numb. She's dying. I should feel something, shouldn't I?" "It's probably a good thing. When it finally hits, it's going to hurt like hell." She rolled over to face me. My fingers moved around to her back, and she lifted them to her face. "Thank you." I brushed the hair from her cheeks and wiped her eyes. The moon lit them just enough to see what she was thanking me for. "You don't have to do that."
"I want to."
She blinked, but there were no tears.
"Tonight would have been a lot for anyone, but you didn't pause. Not for a second."
"This won't be the only time you break down. I'll be there for you the next time, too." When she took a deep breath, I could feel how much it pained her.
"This hurts even more than when my mom died. I was only 4 at the time. I didn't know what was really happening then, but I'm old enough now to know what all of this really means."
I held her face a little tighter and moved mine closer. "I won't let you go through this alone." She closed her eyes and nodded as I ran my thumb along her ear and down over her lip.
"I'm not too numb to not feel that," she whispered. My fingers traveled down to her neck. "Or that,"
I exhaled, and she closed her eyes.
"That too."
I pressed my lips on hers, not using enough pressure for her to open her mouth, but enough for her to feel me, to know how close we were. She breathed into me so deeply it came out as a moan. My dick responded more than I wanted it to. Her naked body was clutched against mine, her nipples rubbing my chest and the heat from her pussy on my thigh. My mind was trying to convince my body to relax. When she began to move my fingers down her neck and toward her chest, my eyes opened.
"I can feel that too," she said.
Once again, I searched them for an answer, my thumb caressing the soft skin between her tits. What I saw, what I felt, told me she wasn't thinking straight.
"Make me feel more, Derek. Please."
As much as I wanted to bury my cock in her tight warmth, she was in a dark and painful place. I feared it would only eventually make her feel worse. She needed time to absorb what was happening.
"Frankie, I..." "Don't say no to me," she said sharply. "And don't try to tell me what I need, not now. Oh God, especially not now. I just want to feel something. However long it lasts, no matter how I feel when it's over, during those minutes we're together, I just want to feel pleasure. Only you can give me that. And I want you to."
I wouldn't deny her. Not ever. Hell, it was physically impossible. And I wouldn't tell her how she might feel afterward. It sounded like she already knew.
"Are you sure this is what you want?" "It's what I need, Derek. To feel you."
Her eyes seemed to match her words, so I dipped my head underneath the covers and kissed my way down her body. When I reached her pussy, I didn't tease her, didn't allow her cravings to build. I spread her lips apart and slid my tongue across her clit, my movements fast and sharp. Already slick with wetness, I slipped my fingers straight into her, pausing just long enough to inhale her scent. Her cunt tasted as good as it smelled. She arched her back as I sped up, flicking across her hardening clit while two of my fingers plunged in and out of her tightness. She tugged my hair and groaned my name, her body rocking against my mouth, showing me how much she needed this bit of release I was about to give her. She was sopping, my beard full of her tangy flavor. I lifted her hips so I could devour even more of her.
"Fuck me, Derek,"
she begged. I sat up and circled her legs around my waist, slowly sliding into her. "Fuck." My unwrapped cock felt every bit of her hot wetness. It was still such a shock. I could have come right at that moment, but I was starting to understand how badly she needed this.
"Oh my God,"
she breathed. I was fully inside her, the lips of her pussy resting on the base of my cock. I gave her a minute to adjust. Then I felt her relax as I reached the tip, and tense up as I shoved my way back in.
"Harder,"
she demanded. I grabbed her nipple, rolling it between my fingers, squeezing the end to make her cry out while I plunged in and out.
"Faster,"
she moaned. I held her ass into the air so I had full access to her pussy and drove into it as hard and as fast as she could take it. Her screams were the most honest thing I'd ever heard. I pressed my thumb to her clit and continued to stroke her. Her hands moved to her nipples and she tugged those tight, light buds, yanking them harder than I thought she could handle.
"Derek,
come whenever you're ready." She tilted her face toward me.
"What about you?"
"Don't worry about me." The way her pussy tightened around me, the way she moaned my name, those were enough to make me come. I gripped her thighs and swiveled my hips and pumped again and again. Then I shot my load straight into her, her eyes opening and connecting with mine as her stomach quivered.
"Frankie."
It felt so good to say her name as she milked the cum out of me. I rolled onto my back, pulling her against my chest and brushed my fingers through her hair. Her body relaxed even more. For the moment, she wasn't crying, but I knew that wouldn't last.
"Will you be able to sleep?" I asked.
"No." "Do you have anything to take? I can run to the store if you don't." She took a minute to respond.
"I don't want to take anything. I have to be awake and alert when the phone rings."
Neither of us said anything more. We did nothing but lean against each other. I didn't know how much time had passed, but at some point while it was still dark, her cell rang. I held her when she answered. I kept holding her after she hung up, when she cried so hard and shook so deeply. I let her go when she ran to the bathroom and threw up. When it looked like her stomach was empty, I moved in behind her, curling her against my body and wiped her face with a cold washcloth. Her skin was sweaty from getting sick, and the cool tile helped bring her temperature down. I rocked her, trying to soothe her shaking until she finally closed her eyes.
"I didn't tell her, Derek. I didn't tell her everything I needed to."
"She knew how you felt. She even told you that." Still, I knew what she meant. There was so much I'd wanted to say to my father and hadn't been given the chance. So much I would have added now as an adult, too young at that age to know the real impact he'd had on my life. But he didn't need me to tell him. He died with so much love and respect. So did Anna.
"It hurts," she whispered. "It hurts so fucking much."
"One day, you'll feel a little less pain, and every day will get a bit easier."
"But it hurts."
I felt it. I heard it. I watched it. I held her and I rocked her while the rain pounded against the bathroom windows. The sound was needed, a little relaxing, even. She took deep breaths and eventually the tension in her body began to loosen. She needed sleep, and I had no idea when she'd eaten last. Her skin had cooled, but every time I tried to move her, she refused. She said all she wanted was the rain, the cold tile, and me. Hours passed, and we stayed just as we were, our naked bodies wrapped around one another, unable to let go. Sunlight eventually filled the room and her stomach began to growl. "You need to eat." There was something else she'd mentioned on the way back from the hospital, something Anna had asked her to do. "And when you're ready, we have to go to her apartment."
"I can't,"
She rubbed her hand over her stomach. I want the box, but I can't go there. Then I'll go for you. I can't ask you to do that. You don't have to ask me. I leaned down and brushed my lips over hers. I then kissed the tip of her nose and the middle of her forehead. I'll do anything for you. She didn't want to move from the bathroom floor, but I didn't give her a choice. I carried her into the shower and washed her hair and body. Then I put her into bed. I didn't listen when she told me she wasn't hungry. She needed to eat, and she would. I found some soup in her pantry and heated it up while I called Will to tell him what was happening, that I needed him to handle things at Timber Towers. Then I called Bree. She cried as hard as Frankie. She was closing down her desk so she could come take my place. Knowing Frankie wouldn't be alone made me feel better. Once the soup was warm, I carried it into the bedroom and placed it on Frankie's lap. Just eat enough so your stomach stops growling. She looked at it, her tongue clicking on the roof of her mouth. I don't think I can. You have to try. With a shaky hand, she brought the spoon to her lips and swallowed the broth. Good. Now another bite. She slowly took a second spoonful. I called Bree, and she's on her way over. She looked at me, her hand pausing midair. You're leaving? I'm going to Anna's to get the box. I'll be right back. She ate a bit more before she set it on the nightstand and buried her face under the blanket. Bree arrived a few minutes later and immediately crawled into bed with her. While they were wrapped in a hug, I slipped out of the room and got into my Suburban. Given that this was the woman who had raised my pink ivory, I paid special attention to the inside of Anna's apartment. I looked at the pictures of the two of them, which were everywhere. Different ages, different memories. There were crafts and drawings Frankie had made her as a child, her signature maturing as her art did. It was hard to believe that Anna wasn't Frankie's biological mother. It was so obvious how much they meant to each other. I found the box in the closet of her master bedroom. I tucked it under my arm and locked up, knowing it might be a while before Frankie was able to come here. When I returned to the condo, the girls were still in bed, the TV on, but neither of them watching it. Mounds of tissues were piled on the comforter. The soup was on her nightstand, still as full as when I'd left. I'll leave you guys alone while you open it, Bree said as I walked to the bed. No. Frankie wouldn't let her out of her grip. I want you both here. I sat on the end of the mattress and set the box between us. Are you sure you're ready for this? I'll never be ready. I have to do it anyway. She asked me to. Using the knife I had taken from the kitchen, I sliced through the tape that held the box closed. I watched her as I pulled back the flaps and held them open. There was a card inside, resting on something wrapped in tissue paper. Frankie uncurled herself from Bree's arms and slowly lifted the card. Peach flowers, she said, running her fingers over the front of it. Her favorite color? She stared at it, took a breath, and handed it to me. Will you read it? Are you sure? I asked. It was meant for you. She nodded. I can't. Bree squeezed her harder, holding a tissue in case Frankie needed it. The note inside was written in shaky cursive. Doll, I read out loud. One day, hopefully soon, this will be for your baby. A chunky pink bundle of joy that will resemble a little bit of him and a whole lot of you. A baby conceived out of a strong love, born to two devoted parents. Until then, use it to keep your toes warm. Not just yours, his too. With so much love, Anna. Tears streamed down her face as she held out her hands. Please give it to me. I placed it on her lap and watched as she carefully tore the tissue paper, revealing a knitted blanket in pastel yarn. It was large enough to cover her bed, much larger than I expected a baby blanket to be. Anna had done that on purpose, making it big enough to cover a family. I saw all this yarn. Frankie said, gliding her hands over the blanket. It was on her kitchen table. She told me it was for her neighbor's daughter who was due in a few weeks. And the whole time it was for you? Bree said. Yes. This whole time she knew, and she was making it for me. For... She finally looked up, our eyes connecting for the first time since I'd placed the blanket in her hands. Then she quickly folded it, stuck it inside the box with the card on top, and placed it on the floor. She laid back down, pulling the comforter up to her chin. There was a new emotion in her eyes. It looked like she was embarrassed. That was odd, considering everything she was going through. And then it hit me. The note, the blanket Anna had made for a baby, Frankie's baby, a baby who will resemble a little bit of him. Anna meant me. Frankie had lost her baby with Reed. I'd imagined she would want another one at some point, and I knew that going into this. Right now, in this bedroom with Frankie and Bree staring at me, the thought didn't freak me out. I hadn't been able to say that before. In the past, getting someone pregnant would have been a fucking nightmare. But I didn't feel that way now. Not at all. And I wanted to tell her, because I had a feeling she thought I was shutting down at the possibility. But this wasn't the time to have that conversation. Bree's expression told me they needed a moment alone. So I stood from the bed and pointed at the box. Do you want me to put it in your office? Please, Frankie said. And I know you're starving, so why don't you have something delivered? I was hungry, and from the looks of her fridge and pantry, my options were limited to a salad or cereal, neither of which I wanted. Can I get you girls anything? Frankie shook her head and Bree shrugged. Wrong answer. You both need to eat. Whatever I order you, I'll keep it light. Thank you, they both said as I left the room. As soon as I shut the door, I heard their voices behind it. Frankie needed her girl, and I was happy Bree was there for her. I needed a goddamn beer. Thankfully, there were plenty of those in the fridge.
6. Frankie. I woke, gasping for breath, my skin covered in a thick layer of sweat. As I tried to get my breathing under control, I blinked several times to clear my eyes and take in my surroundings. Derek was beside me, his face so calm, finally getting the sleep he needed. The TV played softly in the background. Anna's card was in the top drawer of my nightstand, the same spot I'd placed it just a few hours ago when I'd gotten up to read it again. It didn't matter how many times I read it. Her words didn't fill the emptiness. It felt as if my body had been flushed out, and everything inside me had been washed away. The only time I'd ever felt anything comparable was after I had lost the baby. I'd only been pregnant for a short time, and hadn't had a chance to know the child who was growing inside me. But Anna had been in my life since I was 4. I hardly remembered what life was like before her, and I couldn't imagine what life would feel like without her. Who would be my voice of reason? Who would steer me when I lost my direction? Who would be my refuge when I craved a mother's touch? Derek said there were stages. I'd felt the pain, I'd felt the sorrow, and now I'd entered the numbness. After so much numbing emptiness, I just wanted to feel fullness again. Having him deep inside me was the only thing that gave me that, and I desperately wanted it again and again. During those moments when he was thrusting into me, he didn't promise me everything would be all right, or that things would soon return to normal. He gave me distraction and the most intense physical pleasure. I needed it again. I crawled under the covers and carefully moved between his legs. He didn't stir until I pressed my lips to the tip of his cock. Then his hands went to my head, and he tried to pull me up. No, I said. I need this. For me. Let me taste you. He stopped pulling, his hand resting in my hair, eventually guiding me as I sucked up and down his shaft. It became my focus, how hard I sucked it, how I massaged my tongue around the sides. how I paused at the top before I dove back down. I wanted him to feel each flick of my tongue, each time I sucked in my cheeks to give his head more pressure.